Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Welcome. Thank you for being here. I hope this podcast finds you in good health, secure. Today I want to revisit an issue that I posted a video some 5 or 6 years ago. And a lot has changed in that time. I've come to discover some changes in the nature of groups and sects that I find particularly troublesome. And I don't know how thorough a job I did the first time I talked about Gongyo. So I wanted to talk to you about it from the standpoint of you're just getting started. And if you've been practicing Buddhism for a while, that's fine. There's a couple of things though I need to say about your practice that may affect your altar, your book, the liturgy, and those things. So those are things that have changed in the last few years. And although they shouldn't have, that is the nature of our world today. There's all kinds of propaganda and agendas and people changing things, claiming we're better than they are, we're superior, we know the truth. There's only one truth, and that's Shakyamuni's teachings. And Nichiren has been a tremendous scholar in giving us the straight lowdown on that. He's not the only one, though. He's comes from a line of scholarship that goes back beyond Tendai, Dengyo, Miaolo, all many, many scholars, a lot of scholarship throughout Buddhism. And Nichiren cites them all in his letters and Goshos, treatises, so on. And a couple of them, just to get started, let's talk about what is Gongyo. And then we'll talk about why we do it. Gongyo is a recitation. And in case you weren't aware, Buddhism was taught verbally. Shakyamuni Buddha traveled extensively throughout India. It's a big continent, country. And he taught using universal language, plain language, which is no mean feat when you consider that India, even today, has over 125 legal languages, and they are distinct. One person from one area of the country goes to another area of the country, and they can't communicate, or barely, because their languages are so different. Imagine a man traveling throughout India with these teachings and having to address just the populace of the area. He would have to shift and restate his concepts. They would have to be engaging to the local culture, which meant folklore and all sorts of things, and use those as analogies to an understanding of a deeper concept that they hadn't considered before. How to use their mind, how their mind and body were connected, you know, all sorts of things developed from this. As I said before, in the reincarnation / samsara video, you're dealing with a nation hugely populated even then, grew up in Vedic texts and every kind of folklore and local stories glommed onto it, and some form of Hindu, a system of beliefs. It just with thousands of deities, and the understanding of a deity used as an exploratory mental exercise to encapsulate a behavior, a human behavior, just slipped away into materializing in people's minds these as actual forces of the cosmos, of nature. They completely got untethered from reality. And along comes Shakyamuni and tries very diligently to rein people in to their self-responsibility of reason and deep thought. And first of all, understanding how the mind works, how it affects the body. And so this is where things like ascetism, starve yourself, don't talk for a year, those kind of things, they come from that time period when Shakyamuni gave people exercises to do to get familiar with how their mind and body was related. Okay. The point here, though, without going down that path again, is that all of this instruction was done verbally. Nothing was written down. And the way you learned Buddhism at whatever level was done through recitation. In other words, memorization. You'll notice that all the sutras are in the first person. I, Buddha, this. It's a wonderful and interesting trick, mechanism, because as you're reciting it, you are actually invoking your Buddha wisdom. You are saying, I, Buddha, I, this, I, that. Thus, I have heard when this happens, I, Shakyamuni, do this, or I, Buddha, or I just do this. Or I heard the Lord Buddha say these things and direct Subhuti this way. Like you're present, like you're actively engaging in the act of learning, of not only learning, teaching the sermon, which is, as I postulate, that's how we learn anything. We actually teach ourselves. We have great teachers, we have teachings, we have books, we have all that stuff. But until it penetrates your mind in the way that you capture the concept, the idea, the action, your insight, that's your teaching you. Otherwise, it's just text you're reciting. It means nothing. And that's a salient point here, because unless you understand that as you're reciting something, you are teaching yourself the very teaching of this Dharma. Unless you understand that responsibility, then you're just going through the motions. And this is why Shakyamuni, Tendai, great concentration and insight, Nichiren, constantly talking about resolve. Have a resolute mind. Have a single-minded ambition to awaken Buddha, your Buddha nature, your access to this all-knowing self. It's yours. But you must, right? It's not in some distant or dusty closet where you go, oh, here's the Buddha. I'll use that later. No. It's about you going, you're here. I'm here, my clarity, my Buddha nature is here. Awaken, invoke it, make it happen. And so Gongyo is from the scholarship of, I don't know even how long, the recitation of the chapters of sutras has been around since sutras have been around, because that's how they were learned. But as we move through the teachings to the Lotus Sutra, the Lotus Sutra, we learn, is a teaching by Shakyamuni Buddha not to the people's capacity, but of his own method, his own enlightenment. So Buddha's talking to Buddha. He's self-teaching in the Lotus Sutra. And that's our maximal practice. So we want to follow the path that Buddha followed to his own enlightenment. We want to copy that path, right? As the Lotus Sutra repeats in several chapters, copy, recite, copy. Practice. Write down, copy, recite, embrace. This is the way for you to achieve Buddha. That is the Lotus Sutra. And so Nichiren, in all of his Gosho, hints at how this can be done through recitation. Some of his students will write back to him, I've been chanting and reciting the second chapter of the Lotus Sutra repeatedly, you know, 50 times a day, but I've also been reciting the entire Lotus Sutra. I've been reciting these chapters because I think they apply. And through all these letters and communications that you and I have read together, Nichiren points out the second chapter, Hohoben chapter, which, by the way, interestingly enough, kind of relates to Na, of Namu, because it's the preparatory teaching of the Lotus Sutra, the first half, Hoben being a critical part of that, where Shakyamuni divulges that he is now going to give you his method for attaining Buddhahood. Everything he said before was just preparatory, but now he's prepping you for the final, for the ultimate. And in the Holman chapter, he makes that absolutely clear. So that's a valuable one for anyone who wants to practice the ultimate teaching of Shakyamuni Buddha. So it's a preparation. Nah, I'm opening up myself to this Buddha practice. And then the lifespan of the Tathagata, the 16th chapter, or 15th, depending on the copy of the Lotus Sutra that you have. It's the lifespan of the Tathagata, the lifespan of the Buddha. That's where he drops the mic and says, it's not me. Buddha isn't me. Buddha's always been around as long as life has been around. It is a condition of mind. Therefore, women can attain Buddhahood. Men who, if you've screwed up all your life and you've followed other things, the moment you start practicing Buddha correctly, this Buddha that you've been identifying as me, that I've been using as colloquialisms, teachings, as me, is actually not me. Buddha is a condition of mind that I have attained, and there's no one here who cannot attain it. You already have it. You simply need to become aware of it, awaken it. How do you do that? Here is how you teach it. Here is the benefits from it. Here, the whole second half of the Lotus Sutra is how to practice Buddhism. The 16th chapter, the lifespan of the Tathagata chapter, has a discourse session and a rhythmic session, a prose section. And both of them are important, because this is the mu part of Namu. I'm prepared to hear the answer. And mu, here is the Dharma. Here is the answer. Here is the method. The discourse about it, and then the repetition of the significance of it, the highlights, right? Just like the hoban, there's a alliteration and a rhythm. These are the most important sections to practice daily, to reinforce in your pursuit of Buddha. This is prescribed by Nichiren, and this is, we practice Nichiren's doctrine. So why would you deviate? We ring a bell during Gongyo, during our recitation at key moments. And if you want a real breakdown of that, get yourself the book. Well, this is the small version, but there's a large version. Here, let me put it so you can see it. Okay. And if you go to, and I'll put the site up here where you can get that book. On the inside of that book, what you'll find there's a pronunciation guide for special characters that gives you the rhythm and the characters. There's a how to do Gongyo section for each and every silent meditation. And then the I'll read you the fourth meditation. Sound bell 7 times, recite part A. Sound bell 3 times, recite first 2 lines of part B, omit remainder of B, and recite part C. Chant 3 prolonged daimoku, sound bell, chant namu myoho renge kyo 3 times, bow and offer the 4th silent meditation. So the book will have step-by-step instruction on how to recite all of that, right? So you may ask yourself, okay, I understand why we recited. I understand there's a ritual of it, but it's really self-teaching. Okay, I get that. But hopefully I've also answered why these particular parts of the Lotus Sutra. Because this is Lotus Sutra. You're reciting Lotus Sutra, just specific chapters. If you want to recite the entire Lotus Sutra, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. If you have the time and the will to do that, do it. If you think you need to do that, do it. But the essential core of Nichiren, Bodhisattva Nichiren's direction on how everyone could do this daily for the benefit, for the teachings, for the self-teaching of attaining your Buddha, these are the essential components. Do these things with Daimoku. At least 30 minutes of Daimoku, and then there's Daimoku is interspersed in between the meditations, and the last meditation on those who passed away also has a Daimoku section. And you can do it as long as you want, as long as you need. There's even a translation in English, for whatever it's worth, of that part of the Lotus Sutra that we're reciting in this book. So get yourself a book. Get yourself a guide. It's very, very, very helpful. And that way you won't trip up. So we recite because that's the way we learn. Just like learning your times tables in math in school. 2 times 2 equals and so on and so forth. The gazintas, remember those? 2 gazinta 6 3 times, so on and so forth. It's not like that anymore in most places, so you get the idea. Now, other questions may pop up. So why do you ring the bell 3 times, 5 times, 7 times, different places? What's the deal? Well, when it comes to recitation, I hope you've already made note that Namu are distinct characters and need to be said. Nichiren, in his teaching, has ad nauseum stated the 7 characters of Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, the 5 characters of Myoho Renge Kyo, the title encapsulating the content of the Lotus Sutra in its entirety. He's taken apart the characters Myo and Renge and Kyo and Namu in the letters that we've read together. There's no Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. That's a sect that wants to say it knows better than you. It knows better than Nichiren. It knows better than Shakyamuni. Why? So it can establish political supremacy. It's authoritarianism, and it doesn't belong in Buddhism. I'm going on record right now. Nichiren Shoshu is a lie. They have developed their own practice. It's not Nichiren. It's not Shakyamuni. It's some political advantage place that they think that they hold. The mandalas they create are not Nichirens. They are interpretations of Nichirens by certain high monks in those organizations who are actually saying, I'm just the same as Nichiren, so this is my mandala. Use it. My name's on it. The date I did it is on it. Wait a minute. Nichiren created the mandala as a pure reflection of the Lotus Sutra. Yes, he signed it. He signed it as Bodhisattva Superior Practices, saying, I am taking responsibility for delivering this teaching of the Lotus Sutra through this medium of a mirror of your Gohanzon, your Buddha nature, your Buddha mind. I accept that. I accept that that's a Nichiren tool for the latter age to help us attach, constantly, voraciously taking in information through our eyeballs and focusing it on the Lotus Sutra. Namu Myoho Renge Kyo, right down the center. Not Nam Myoho Renge, Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. That's what Nichiren gave us. The universal tool. So some jamoke comes along 700 years later and says, I'm going to make one and put my name on it. What the hell does your name have to do with anything? You're not in the Lotus Sutra. You're certainly not Nichiren. Why am I going to use your name and date and information as awakening my Buddhahood? Get the fuck out of here. Who the hell are you? I mean, no disrespect much, but if you're really going to call yourself a devoted leader, a monk, practicing Nichiren's Buddhism, then duplicate Nichiren's mandala. Don't give me yours. Look, if you're driving down the road and you get pulled over and you say, here's a driver's license from some guy I met 3 days ago in a bar, you're not going to drive home, pal. That driver's license ain't yours. Right? This is really simple reason. And then you have lay organizations taking up that mantle, picking and choosing whatever personage, whatever monk they preferred. Wait a minute. I don't practice that monk's Buddhism. I practice Shakyamuni's Buddhism, and the scholarship that I use and the tools that I use are of Nichiren's. That's why I'm a Nichiren sect Buddhism. I'm not a Bob Frank Alice Buddhist. What kind of ridiculousness is that? I honor the teachings of Nichiren and Shakyamuni Buddha. That's why I call myself a Buddhist. If you can tell I'm annoyed, I'm holding back. So what's up with the three rings when those happens? They're in strategic places as you do Gongyo. Ring the bell three times. Well, the bell, first of all, is older than Buddhism, older than time. It's a way of invoking a vibration that gives you a tone to match to when you're chanting. When you're reciting, it's also to unglue you from mundane stuff. It adds, it's like a vocalization. It's an honorific and a tribute to a concept of what we're practicing. And so I want to take that apart for you. Three rings is about the law, the Dharma teaching, you know, the first. What do we call them? oh my goodness, I'm drawing a blank, but three precepts that we accept as practitioners of Nichiren's doctrine of the Lotus Sutra. The law, Myoho Rengekyo, the Dharma, Myoho Rengekyo, the teaching, right? Also, the situation where we're practicing. It honors our butsudan, our altar, our earthly proprietary protection, enshrinement, respect, the place of practice of the law. And third, the practice itself, our enactment of this self-teaching and awakening of Buddha, right? Those are the three precepts. When we ring the bell five times, can you imagine what that is honoring, calling out, and putting us in rhythm with? Myoho Rengekyo, the five characters. Just think Nichiren, you won't forget. The five characters, Myoho Rengekyo, and everything they entail. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So when do we ring it seven times? That's when we start the whole cycle over again, right? When we're doing Gongyo. Here we go from the beginning. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Namu Myoho Rengekyo. How many beats was that? 7. Not 6. 7. Namu Myoho Rengekyo. Our dedication to, our opening of Namu, receiving the teaching Mu Myo, of Myoho Rengekyo. 7. So everything has significance in Gangyo, right? Just like the significance of having an altar, of lighting it properly, of enshrinement, of connectivity with this goal, this circular goal, this mirror of our internal Buddha nature, right? That's why we don't worship something outside of ourselves. We have an earthly mirror of the thing inside ourselves. We just are turning on flashlights, holding lighters in the air. We're enlightening ourselves. We are teaching ourselves Buddha. That's Gongyo. It's essential to this practice. You might say, well, isn't that what Myoho Rengekyo is? Yeah, yeah, chant. Daimoku, Namo Myoho Rengekyo, Namo Myoho Rengekyo, Namo Myoho Rengekyo. I have videos posted here that have a slow Gongyo, so you can follow along and just hear if you're practicing alone. It's good to hear somebody else enunciating these words that you're learning about in here and not knowing exactly how to say Jiga Toku Burai Shokyo Shokoshu. It's nice to hear somebody else saying it's, oh, it's not Kashu, it's Koshu. It's not Nai, it's Ni, right? The I's are pronounced like E's in this phonetic book. All of that's in the front. So don't worry, I'll teach you. I'll show you. It says it's very detailed in the book. So get yourself a book. The second thing I'm going to tell you to get, if you don't have one already, is this Gohonzon, this mandala of Gohonzon, more accurately. Gohonzon is in yourself. Nichiren says, don't look for this Gohonzon outside yourself, because that's where it resides. It is your Buddha wisdom. It is your pathway in. This is just a picture of it conceptually. When you invoke it, this teaching of Myoho Rengekyo, the Lotus Sutra, is what is going to, it's all the facets of this Buddha clarity that you're going to experience. And if you're using one of those mandalas from some group or some sect that say this one's better than that one and this one was done in 1964, so it beats the one who's there now because we don't like him, you're in a political melee that has very little to do with Buddhism. And in fact, I will use Nichiren's words here. They are enemies of the Buddha because they are sending you into realms of ego and greed. And oh my goodness, if there's any credit to Shakyamuni's prediction that the latter age would be filled with greed, anger, and stupidity, anger in Buddhism understood as manipulating, backstabbing kind of behavior, did he not hit it on the head? It's not that it didn't exist during his day. Certainly it did. It's just that today, we are completely ruled by it to the point we don't even consider it. If we don't have the latest this or that, we're barely human. That's how insipid and inculcated this greed and manipulation and foolishness, stupidity. You're not watching what you're doing. It rules the day at all levels. And there's only one way to get past all that, all those screaming monkeys. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. You want to give your Daimoku more strength, more power? Then recite Gangyo. Because that's the actual words of description, of method that we're invoking when we chant Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. It gives it more meat, more special sauce, whatever you need to call it. Fuel for the car. So everything in Gangyo has a context and a purpose. And the more you understand those things, the more value, the stronger foundation you have in order to demand your own awakening, your own Buddha-ness. I hope that all makes sense to you. I'll have there's links posted at the beginning of this video, every video, on where you can get a Gohanzon, where you can get my books, the liturgy. I'll have a couple of screen grabs that'll come up. I'll do it again now at the end so that I have a reminder for you of what it looks like to go to those websites and get your own practicing tools. I'm not making butsudans anymore, so I can't offer you that. But it doesn't have to be complicated. I fabricated a pretty nice one here. It looks pretty amazing when it's closed, completely closed. There are two sets of doors. Maybe I'll show those off one day. But please use the comments and let me know what I forgot to talk about, what you need me to talk about, what you don't understand about Gangyo. Let's nail this part of the practice down because it's very important. And I'm very adamant about helping you perform your practice critically, accurately, and successfully. Otherwise, screw it. Let's go down to the lake and go fishing. Seriously, if you're going to do it, do it. Do it right. I've talked about that in many ways already, so I don't want to belabor it. I just want to focus on Gangyo right now. Why it exists, why we do it, how we do it, why we don't abbreviate it. Why don't we, you know, it's not supposed to be easy to do. Is anything supposed to be easy to do? Things only become easier with practice. So let's practice correctly so that we can far more easily instantiate our Buddha. Not be frustrated because it doesn't seem to be happening. I'm not getting my Camaro. That ain't it. Okay? I love you guys. I hate to sound parental, but that's part of our practice too, isn't it? Parent, teacher, and sovereign. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you. Thank you for being here, for participating, for hearing me all the way to this point. You know, it means a lot to YouTube, but it means a lot to me and to your practice. That's what amazes me about you, is that you're tackling this straight on and you will get results. I know this from over 40 years of my own practice. So thank you again. Those of you who contribute funds or things like candles, incense, whatever, anything that helps me to produce these videos, get, you know, internet ain't free, and produce this stuff in a way that's entertaining and that is audible, not hard to look at, except maybe me. Sorry about that. It's all because of you guys. So thank you in that way as well. Much appreciation. And with all of that, blah, 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 I'm going to let you go. Can't wait to see you in the next one. Hey, make a suggestion. That was great on the Gongyo thing, but what about this? I've never understood this. Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about that. Let me know. And I'll talk again to you soon. Thanks so much. Bye for now. Hey, thank you for being here. Did you know there's a third way you can help support this channel? And it won't cost you a cent. Yep. If you are not able to be a patron on Patreon or use the PayPal me at .com at Sifu Sylvain because you don't have the financial fortune to help support this channel right now, you, as I say, always support this channel by watching. But you can also help us grow so that maybe one day we can get over 10,000 subscribers and YouTube will grace us with monetization. It's not a lot, but if you can make sure you're subscribed and share a video like a simple one, just go into the search criteria and type monk and you'll have a video that'll come up that's been up for years about what is a monk. You know, it's called monk, who, how, where, something like that. That might be a great introduction to somebody who doesn't understand what a monk is to begin with. It's a tool. Use this channel as a tool to help you with your bodhisattva practice and share a video to somebody who you think, oh, I know somebody who'll benefit from watching this. And in that way, you can help us grow. And that's a really good way to help your practice along as well. So just wanted to drop that in on you, in case that's something that you might find useful. Take care of yourself again, and I'll see you soon. Bye.